Maybe we could start. I was chatting with Pastor Seller here about a topic of prayer, and maybe we can bring some thoughts about prayer. Kind of like a heart-to-heart style, not so academic as the Spirit quickens. Before I would say anything, I would say that I learned so much from Pastor Seller in the Taas Järvi days. If you know that word, Taas Järvi, it's a very important word. It's a place where we had like a center, like a study center, and it became a discipleship school. Or out of that, we traveled to the Bible school where we lived. And sometime we literally came from Bible studies from, I think we came from Salo like 1 o'clock in the morning. I lived in a small room. It was like a dressing room for sauna, maybe about this long or this wide. Anyway, and try to wake up. 4:30, I would hear. 4:30, I would hear Pastor Seller praying on the corridor. I turned my side. I said, "I would love to do that, but I gotta wait a couple of more hours." And then we went to the schools and rolled in and taught classes and so on. There's that one picture on the corridor about Pastor Seller. He's sitting there in some maybe bus or something. He has his open Bible and kind of praying and reading. And that's what I really learned from him. I appreciated so much from him how he would mix praying and reading. He would just pray a little bit and I think that was mine, right? He would read a little bit and pray a little bit and read a little bit and pray a little bit. And that's literally the secret, which at the time I didn't quite, I knew what he was doing, and I prayed also, but he was so exercised in it. In Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, it's so interesting when our Lord didn't push prayer to his disciples. He was just living the life, and he did the praying. He exercised prayer. He did the praying. Then the disciples came to him and said, "Can you teach us to pray like John gave his disciples some teaching on praying?" Because praying really is contagious in a way. They saw how he exercised himself in touching God. In Ephesians, there's a great key where it says in verses Ephesians 6, verses 17 and 18, it says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Very good. But then the following verse explains it. How you take the sword of the Spirit? Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. A good example is here. We just had a word we heard it, kikko. Kikko is a household word here, isn't it? Kikko, everybody knows kikko. Kikko is trying to get out of, was it Hong Kong or China? China. She kind of got stuck and it's a difficult situation, so we can, in our hearts and in our... Why don't we pray just corporately for her a second here? Dear Father, we thank you that you will bless Kiko right now. The divine peace, that peace that is greater than all understanding. That peace which is greater than all understanding. Fill her heart and mind that she would know what to do, and you will be the God of the open doors for her, that the right door will open, and until it opens, that she'll have your peace, she'll be protected, no sickness attack her, and everything will be fine. In your Son's precious name, Father, amen. If you noticed, I didn't say the peace that passes all understanding. I said the peace that is greater than all understanding. Do you know why I said it that way? Oh, there it is. It's so in Aramaic, yes. It doesn't just pass over your head, but it's greater than all combined understanding of the world's understanding. It's even greater than artificial intelligence understanding. If you know what I mean. All the understandings of men and angels, it's greater. Okay. So when we take... Oh, thank you. Wow, wow, wow. When we take the Word of God with prayer, it is a sort of the Spirit. If I just take it and wield it, I may use it as my sword. Bull. Yeah. But if I take the Word of God with prayer, the Spirit gets into it, and it's a sword of the Spirit. Didn't I have a lesson about that in 1984? No, I'm not referring to that Orwellian book. I'm referring to an experience in Romania. And literally, this is what happened is I was all alone. We were bringing help to the underground church. We were caught. Not smuggling dope or anything like that, but bringing help to the underground church. We were taken. I was looking into safely like 3 years in Romanian cell. No one to turn to. At that time, I had memorized so many Bible verses. I'm not against memorization at all, because it's good source to, you know, ammunition. Bible bullets are the best bullets. But when I was all alone, I had no understanding what to do. My friend was escorted out of the room, handcuffed and gagged. His mouth was gagged, and he tried to shout to me that get a message to the West, and I can't get any message. I don't have Romanian money and phone numbers, and I got two gunmen on me. And it was a moment I had nowhere to turn. You remember when Jacob came from a long journey from a place called Padan Aram? He came to the brook, which is called Yabbok. You know what Yabbok means? I have a bottle in my hand. And when you pour out from a bottle, it makes this kind of sound like bakbuk, 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 bakbuk. This is in Hebrew, bakbuk. And yabbok means emptying out, like pouring out water, wine, whatever, pouring out your water from your... That brook of Yabbok is emptying out brook. And he's got Lavan behind him. Lavan is Laban. Laban here. Why do you change the names? It's not your fault. It's not your fault. I need to remember. Laban, if I say Lavan, you wonder, what are you talking about? So Laban, okay, he succeeded in that, but that the greatest fear all of his time was, how do I meet my brother? So there he's on by the brook, and it says, Jacob was left alone. Here is the important key for prayer. When we have no one to turn to except God, we're hitting like the bottom line level. God is helping us to know that I'm there. Because when we have people to turn to, we'll turn to people. Say, you pray for me. And by the way, we always encourage that. Paul even did it. But when there's no one to turn to, it's like the world shuts around you. I have been a few times only in my life in that kind of a situation where you just know it's you and God. Actually, we knew it all the time, but like really, it's me and God. It's God or I'm done. That was Jacob's life, that point. And then they wrestled with him, a man. So when we take the word of God with prayer, it's the sword of the Spirit. And then it doesn't matter who is sharing the word, who is behind the pulpit. There have been prayers in the hearts of the people. And God is directing the words and the text and whatever directly according to the walk of the people. God is correlating everything. Because He's the Father, He controls everything. It's very organic. It is this kind of thing that they shall not teach one man, every man his brother. This is the way to know the Lord. I have the five steps that you have to take, and then you know the Lord. It's not by the wisdom of man that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, which is the cross and resurrection power. Prayer is the simplest thing in the world and the hardest thing in the world at the same time. I learned so much about prayer in the early days in a place called Tahasjärvi. Then I found we were in Lennox Library, the congregation's library in Lennox, and there was a book by Dr. Hallesby. Anyone know this name, Dr. Hallesby? Pastor Seller, of course. He had a book called Prayer. In English, it's called Prayer. In Suomi language, it's about the world of prayer. Masterpiece. And the thing what I took out of that book was, it was so good. It's still to me like one of the keys. He said that helplessness is your greatest asset in prayer and your greatest teacher in prayer. He said when Miriam, the mother of our Lord, said to the people, said to the Lord first, to his son, to her son, to the Lord, her son, the Lord, they have no wine. He used this as the best prayer. He said, There was no advice. Please do this, and let me suggest to you what you should do. No, no. Go right to him and said, they have no wine. Nothing else. And then she'd tell the people, whatever he tells you, just do that. Now, last week we were listening to, I think it was last week, getting my days mixed up, Pastor Seller's message on Miriam, mother of the Lord, and that beautiful, beautiful message, that message about Lazarus and the other Mary, Lazarus, and that was amazing. That it was amazing. But what we're saying here is that simplicity of just bringing the need to the Lord. And these ladies were saying, Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died, and they did what they understood. This is wonderful, that we don't need to provide any help. Only open the door. Prayer is opening the door. Lord, what do you think about that verse? I literally, my favorite time is before going to sleep, or in the morning, but especially also before going to sleep. Just open the word, and after I've done my duties and prayed for my prayer list for people, I pray with the list and without the list. I have a list because this is kind of like my field that I plow. And there are people in this room that are in that list as well. Yes, but then to take the word and say, Lord, what do you say about that word? And then read and pray a little bit and meditate. Lord, what do you say? And it's amazing how just a thought comes to you, another verse is quickened to you. God speaks with that still small voice. Well, private prayer, there's so much we could say about private prayer. Often prayer, let me take one more illustration from before we say goodbye to Dr. Hallisby. Let's still have him here, and we'll take one more thing from him. If you ever study about conscience, he has also a book on conscience. Such a good book, where he says, you can never argue with your conscience. Just present the blood. It was so simple. But this is what he said about prayer. He said, prayer is like the drill that drills the rock, and the gospel is the dynamite power of God. He said, you can put a piece of a dynamite on top of the rock and blow it, and huge noise and a little splinter gets, but it doesn't really cut the rock. I mean, like really cleave it, split it. No. You have a lot of noise, though. A lot of people are happy with the noise. But he wasn't happy with the noise. He said, prayer also is work. Pray, drill, 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 so that there's a real hole. And then you place the dynamite in the hole. Prayer prepares the way. Prayer prepares the way. Oh my goodness. And then you put the dynamite and you light it up. It splits the rock. There's no problem with the power of the word. The word of God is quick and alive, but where's the place? Where's the hungry hearts? Where's the opening? Where is the opening? So this is why prayer is so good. But I would say this from my own limited experience of a few days on this earth, which are almost over. The Lord is knocking on the door. Come up here soon. Don't know the date. I hope it's very soon. But from my limited experience, prayer sometimes starts with Paul almost always starts also as a discipline. The initial may be like I remember when I got saved, it was the first few days like walking in the clouds. We all had different experiences. Didn't have to be like that. Could have been very intellectual, like C.S. Lewis, no problem. But then when we get into prayer, it started like a discipline. I remember started my devotion like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Then I realized, oh, I need a little more. 30 minutes, okay, good, good. A little more. It's like physical exercise and spiritual exercises have a lot in common. I got to do now more walking, but I still have jogging in my blood, even though I really walk. But if you are a jogger, anyone here that has been jogging in their life, oh man, it's great. It's just great. But when you get started, like, you're puffing and 5 minutes, oh good, 10 minutes, oh 15. But when you get into it, or it could be the same with walking, once you get into it, it's like the biggest thing is really to get your shoes on, and then the rest is history. It becomes a delight. I'm kind of like study and all this stuff. I'm now on that level. To me, it's not a question I should study the Bible now, or it's delight, like reflecting, walking, enjoying the presence of God. And is the cross in it? Yeah, there are moments the devil will try to distract you, take up the cross. But this is the thing, the cross is our friend. The cross is our friend. The more cross, the more release of life. The more cross, the more knowledge, inner knowledge, heart knowledge of love. Heart knowledge of love and life. So individual prayer is important, and there are times we may have the crisis points, but then corporate prayer is another matter. We'll say a couple of things about it. Corporate prayer. There was a man in America, probably from Finland. His name was Charles Finney. It wasn't a joke, by the way, because when Britain was invaded a long time before him, certain people were taking part of an invasion, and that name Finney went in with that, probably, yeah. And Quinlan is another name. Okay. So Charles Finney said, he said, corporate prayer, to have that oneness and unity, is not simple. I'm paraphrasing what it's not simple. So it's better to start with like a smaller prayer group and then add to it, but get to the flow that you're listening to God together and sending prayers, and it's like a corporate action of praying the mind of God back to Him. I know I didn't say it exactly with the same words, but he said that the corporate prayer is harder to achieve, but it is so important. So important. Prayer groups, prayer partners. My wife and I, we pray together. We pray often together. We have family prayer, and that's good. Prayer meetings, and I'm so encouraged how prayer is part of the body here. So encouraged about that. But there is a sense that, like what we said earlier, that we cannot live without prayer. Really. And the other sense is, I cannot get what the Father wants to impart. Ephesians 1:17 till the end of the chapter, that I cannot get what He wants to impart without talking with him. So the I wrap this up by saying, in the book of Luke, where our Lord, right before he went to call his 12 disciples, he spent the night with prayer. And English Bibles say he spent all night in prayer to God, because there was an important decision. The Greek and the Aramaic say the same thing. If you translate it literally, he spent that night in the prayer of God. There's a point where what I'm often looking for, that point in my prayer, I'm not sure if I always succeed, but there are moments that we do, is that, God, have your desire in my prayer. Work your desire into my prayer, so that you go kind of through me in this prayer, that I'm praying the prayer of God. I'm praying the burden of God. Now I'm in Isaiah, where it says that so is my word that comes. It comes from heaven, and then we pray back to him, and then it comes down like a rain. So it's got that cycle. But that we are one with him, that it's not like he's alone praying, and then we as disciples are next to him. So we learn more in prayer and adoring him in his word. It's so important that it's not done in a self-righteous way and a legalistic way and all that. And fasting can be helpful in the Lord, I say, not self-made, you know. But so that the Lord, we literally are like hitting the highest note there, when the Word of God turns in us into prayer. The Word of God can turn in us into prayer. So thank you, Lord, that you'll help Kiko to get out. We bless all the brothers and sisters in China, the whole Chinese church, and pray especially for Pastor Satellite and the body there with him, Pastor Mike Blanket and all the flock with him, and just bless also the suffering church. And lead and guide also in Israel, as they are facing huge things concerning peace and these questions. In your name, our precious Lord and our only Savior. Amen.